Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Face Us, the radio show where we confront the serious corruption happening in courtrooms across America and the world. Today's courts are riddled with problems stemming from the unchecked greed and unethical behavior of court-appointed and for-hire attorneys and other court officials. We stand with the honest and honorable judges and attorneys and service professionals trying to clean up this mess and restore integrity to our justice system. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to face us. Today is Wednesday, November 9th, 2023, and I'm Robin Austin. I'm with my co-host, Lou Ann Fleming.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our show tonight. This is going to be a great show, everybody, and I just wanted to announce that we are having some technical issues. We just got a message on here that their engineers are working hard on the resolution, so please send me text, send me message, you'll hear me or not, and we'll keep continuing the show, but we have a great, great
guest tonight.
We're excited about this one. Mm-hmm. And so we've also are here tonight with Hillary Hoag. Say hello to everybody, Hillary.
Hi, everyone. It definitely is going to be a phenomenal show with Diane Jaimin. We're grateful for all of her hard work year after year on exposing the corruption that's happening in guardianship. It was a good week for me. We were, and the cause, we were on the front page of the Washington Post. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you know that the Washington Post exposes the truth. And so that's good. Anything that has to do with guardianship is phenomenal. So again, to all of our listeners who are more than likely going through the toughest, worst time of their life with a guardianship case, we are here to support you, and we are grateful for our listeners. So thank you so much.
And we also have Marcy Friedman. Say hello to everybody, Marcy.
Hi. Good evening, America. And Brava America. I did this, came up with this name in memory of my mother because she was mad, and Brava means mad, but Brava also means brave. So, and we have another brave one coming in today, which is Diane Jaimin, and welcome. We're so delighted to have you, and thank you for coming. And I have a few questions to ask you. So whenever you're ready,
hold on. Let me go ahead and talk in just a second. Let me see if we can tell you exactly about Diane Jaimin. She is one of the biggest journalists that we know of besides Janet Fahey, and there's quite a few of them that have really have come together on this whole situation about guardianship abuse.
Tremendous contributions to exposing the kind of corruption that we do on this show. And so we're delighted that Diane can be with us tonight.
We're going to tell you a little bit about Diana first, okay? So we're joined by an award-winning freelance journalist, author, syndicated columnist, and a former television correspondent who specializes in crime and justice topics. Diane Jaimin, with her new book, We're Here to Help When Guardianship Goes Wrong. We're going to be talking a lot about the conservator and guardianship system, and she's been investigating this for about 7 years now. And this system that's been—it's been designed to protect the nation's at-risk. It's not doing that population. So, what we're going to do is focus on her book, Diane Jaimin. We're going to bring her to the show right now, and let's bring her on. Welcome to the show, Diane.
Welcome, Diane.
Welcome, Diane.
Welcome to the show, Diane Jaimin.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Are you there?
You're live.
Are you there?
Well,
Diane? Yeah.
She did say
yes,
she was
you're
having
live
some
on the show now?
Problems.
Are we having technical issues? Oh, God.
Not sure Diane is hearing
did
us.
Did say that we're having some technical problems?
Right, and I just want everybody to know that we've got messages. Message. Hold on, let me see if I can try to find her. Let's see. Diane, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, there you are. Cool. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Good, good.
Hi there.
Yeah, we're kind of like... Yeah, thank you for coming on. I know I announced earlier that we were having some technical difficulties on the show, so if something cuts us off or something, we're going to bring Diane back on again next Wednesday. So I just want everybody to know that. So, Diane, welcome to the show once again, and talk to us about...
Welcome, Diane.
Thank you so much.
Actually, I was on the other line holding, but then suddenly I couldn't hear the show. So it finally dawned on me I should hang up and call back again. So here we are.
Well, Diane, I have a few questions to ask you to get like the show going. And one of them is you've been investigating and writing about abusive guardianships for 8 years now. So so how widespread is the problem?
Great question. It's nationwide. In fact, I've gotten calls from people in Australia. I've gotten calls from people in Great Britain. Their systems are different but similar in that they can turn abusive. They can turn financially devastating on a dime. So, yeah, it is widespread. I don't think I've found one state that doesn't have abusive guardianships.
Wow. So it has exploded. The number two question is, a lot of people think explosive guardianships or explosive guardianships only affect seniors, people with dementia, or Alzheimer's, we're all victims of that. But you discovered Americans of all different ages and situations have been victimized. Is that right?
Yep, that's right. You know, when I first heard about guardianship, like 8-9 years ago, I thought, oh, that's for kids. That's something that they give to children that their parents have died or something. But it's not. For adult guardianship, it's anybody over the age of 18, and it's not just the elderly people with or without mental, memory issues. I've talked to several older people who are perfectly coherent, but they're in guardianships anyway. There are young people who have won workman's compensation settlements or medical malpractice settlements. I have talked to people who had temporary mental health issues, or they had a stroke and they were in a coma for a week and they wake up and they're guardianized and they're 38 years old. You know, now, ladies, hold on to your hats about this one here. I found out that there are divorce attorneys who are telling their male clients to guardianize the wife that doesn't want a divorce. Because if you guardianize her, they are told, she can't hire a lawyer to fight you. And this is happening. It's happening in Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York, Florida. This is something I really want to get the word out about so that you can nip it in the bud and that doesn't go nationwide.
Wow. So the other question is, how about that? So we hear so much about predatory guardians, conservators, and lawyers. So why are more of them charged with crimes and prosecuted? Why can these people get away with committing this warlike crimes?
Well, their main excuse is the judge approved it. Whatever I did, I went to the judge first and the judge gave permission. So faced with that, you know, if you're going to charge somebody and that's their defense, you're going to have to put the judge on the stand. And what prosecutor wants to be cross-examining a judge? Hey, Your Honor, how come you let that guardian break the trust or ignore the power of attorney or ignore the will? You know, so that's one reason. Another reason is district attorneys, prosecutors who can prosecute these predators, just don't. You know, let's take the case of Rebecca Farrelly in Florida. Stephen mm-hmm. Stryker, one of her wards, dies because she put a DNR on him. And this is my opinion. And she capped his feeding tube, and he died. And the hospital staff
right.
just stood by. They couldn't do anything. He was charged mm-hmm. with a bunch of felonies. But by the time the case finally got to court, there was only one charge of neglect of a senior. And she gets 4 months
horrible.
Probation. You know, so why do the DAs agree to plea bargains with these people? It just encourages other predators to be predatory. I mean, you know, what are the chances I'm going to get caught and convicted? Pretty slim. So they keep doing it.
Wow. So the number four question is, so many things seem to be wrong with the system. What do you think needs to be done to fix it?
Oh, boy, have you got about 5 hours?
No,
yeah. Seriously, if I had to say one thing that needs to be fixed, we have got to stop making it so easy to guardianize somebody. You know, all it takes
yes.
is a piece of paper, you know, a petition for guardianship, and it could be full of lies or exaggerations, and the judge just accepts it. There's got to be more checks and balances at the very beginning. You know, lots of states are trying to pass all these reform laws, and, you know, that's great, little Band-Aid laws, you know, for visitation
mm-hmm.
or for auditing or whatever, but I said this before, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a big open bleeding wound.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, yeah. that's not the point. The point is, don't make it so easy to guardianize someone. Punish the people who are preying on wards of the court. Make the judges
mm-hmm.
take mandatory training so they understand what is happening after they approve these guardianships and conservatorships. It's just astounding to me that judges begin these guardianships, continue the guardianships, and refuse to terminate the guardianships almost 99% of the time.
Yeah, exactly. So what should citizens do to protect themselves?
Okay, now you got another 5 hours. I'm
yeah. Oh,
no. That's a very good
yeah.
question, isn't it?
Yeah,
we're trying to figure out too.
That's
yeah.
a great question. First of all, you know, we have to admit that a lot of these guardianships start because the family can't decide what to do with their disabled relative or their elderly mom or dad, and so there's fights going on in the families, and somebody. I'm sad to say somebody invariably turns to a lawyer for counsel. Well, what do you think they're going to say? Go for guardianship. Boy, that'll
yeah.
bring in a lot of money for me, the attorney, and I've got a guardian standing by who's ready to go, and I know a court visitor, and I know a medical mental evaluator, and they just see dollar signs in their eyes. Don't
mm-hmm.
don't make the first point of contact a lawyer. Go to family mediation. Go to family
yeah.
mediation and make sure your estate documents are in order. I know the judges can ignore your will and your POA and your trust agreements and all of that, but you got to have them. You really have to have them. And when you make an
yeah.
estate plan, add a sentence or two about what you think about guardianship. If I am guardianshiped, I want X, Y, and Z to be my guardians. Pick one of those three people. I trust those three people. Or I never want a guardian. I would rather fill in the blank. Make
right.
your wishes known ahead of time.
And what states did you see corruption and juryless court trafficking?
In
did
what states have I found corruption?
Yeah, during your time of your investigations, did you see?
Well, all of them.
All of them.
Every state in which I looked into a guardianship case or two or three or five or 12, there was corruption.
Yes.
Not every case. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes guardianships work out just fine. If mm-hmm. a loving family member is named as the guardian and kept within the family and everybody is in agreement, guardianships can be wonderful. As a society, we need some sort of system to take care of people who don't have any family or who, you know, really need protection. But what we don't need mm-hmm. is the current system we have that's not really regulated very well, and it's not supervised very well. And, you know, when the judge is confronted with something that their appointee has done, something wrong that their appointee has done, they don't want to admit that they appointed the wrong person. They don't listen to the family. Mm-hmm. They listen to the court appointee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't want to admit that they did wrong. Well, I just got a text from there's this group in California fighting nationwide for jury trial rights and fighting
yes.
for a right to proper grand jury function. It's called the U.S. Institute of Science and Research Group, Dr. Dave Manuel, and he's sent a couple of questions. Do you mind you mind
yes.
me asking you? Okay.
No,
in fact,
I'd love to know more about that group. Have him send me an email.
I'm going to send you an email and connect you to him.
Okay.
Here's one question. He says, are you aware that by carrying out these court cases without a grand jury indictment and without giving these persons and families, quote, jury trials, these judges and attorneys are violating the state and federal RICO Act and grand theft, honest services fraud, jury witness, and evidence?
There's a lot in that question, and I'm going to tell you, grand juries are impaneled for criminal cases. Now, if the question is, do I think that a guardianship shouldn't occur until there's a jury trial, that might be a great idea. I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you just quickly, these guardianship cases go into what's called equity court. Now, some of you may already know this, but let me just quickly explain for those who don't. Equity courts don't operate like criminal courts with grand juries. They don't
right.
operate like civil courts. They're equity
mm-hmm.
courts, really, the bottom line is the judge can do anything he or she damn well pleases. That's
mm-hmm.
the honest truth. And there
mm-hmm.
there is no due process guaranteed. There is no trial by jury. You don't even have the right to necessarily call your own witnesses to say that you're not incapacitated. So, yes, I think that needs to change. I'm not sure that every state has what the questioner is saying, a RICO statute that would cover guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's a lot in that question that
I didn't finish. I saw this other part of the question. So he said,
sorry.
A grand jury indictment and without giving these persons and family jury trials, these judges and attorneys are violating the state and federal RICO Act, grand theft, honest services fraud, jury witness, and evidence tampering, grand jury tampering, obstructions of justice, et cetera. Would you think that this could be considered RICO Act and violation?
I don't know state laws, individual state laws, well enough to answer that correctly. But do
mm-hmm.
I think that this is a racket? You bet I do. And do I think
yeah.
it is a RICO is a racketeering criminal charge? And you see,
mm-hmm.
guardianship is considered civil. But RICO
right.
just means two or more people got together and conspired to do something bad against somebody. So do I think
right.
these exploitive guardianships should fall under the RICO statute when they steal hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars and over-medicate people until, you know, God knows what happens? Yes. Yes, I think
mm-hmm.
RICO statutes could be applicable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, there have been some RICO cases filed, and they've gone nowhere
mm-hmm.
so far. There's one in the one in Texas died a death. There's one,
mm-hmm.
sorry, I don't have my book in front of me. I believe it's in Illinois that is still pending. So, yeah, I think that's a great argument. I just don't know all the niceties about each state laws. And anyway, I hope that answered the question.
Okay, so I hope that answers for him. And then he, I guess because of the investigations that they're doing, the number two he asked is, if you were aware it is the judges and attorneys illegally denying jury trials to these conservatorships, probate real estate, and bank account cases where millions of dollars are involved, real estate is being trafficked and connected, nursing homes are receiving funds, et cetera, and that jury trials are illegally denied in violation of our Constitution. But I think you just answered that. You are aware that this is happening, right?
Well, I'm aware that there is, in an equity court, which is where guardianship cases are heard, in
uh-huh.
different states, they're called, you know, surrogate court or probate court, or in Pennsylvania, it's orphans and widows court, you know. So they're different names, but they operate under equity court rules. And
got it.
There is no mechanism within that type of court for a jury trial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not
no.
fair. Nothing is fair,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion, when you've got an abusive, financially exploitive guardian. Nothing is fair at all.
Nothing. And then he wanted to know if you have noticed that the FBI and federal prosecutors are not intervening and breaking up these frauds like they did in the Kids for Cash scandal in Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Have I noticed that? Yes. However,
yeah.
I will tell you that the FBI is very, very slowly looking into some of these cases. I can't really say any more
very
than that.
Slowly.
They're very slowly. Very
like turtle slow.
Yeah, like way turtle.
Well, so many are dying, and so many elderly are being isolated.
But can I just tell you, in answer to that question, the federal government, the Department of Justice, the Congress, politicians will say, oh, well, you know, we're the federal government. These are state-run programs. It's up to the states to handle this. Well, I call BS. I'm sorry. I just call BS on that because these are civil rights violations. And the Department of
yes.
Justice sends investigators into states all the time to look at their police departments when there is an allegation of a civil rights violation. And they go
mm-hmm.
in and they investigate. They sit in the department for 6 or 8 months. They catalog everything that goes wrong. They make a list of things that that department has to do to redeem itself. And they force them to make
mm-hmm.
things right. Well, why don't they do that with guardianship and conservatorship? They can, but they just don't. You tell
yeah.
me why. I don't know.
I don't know. And then he put here, have you heard that when affected citizens, robbery victims, try to go to federal grand juries and the FBI to go away and are being stopped from reporting these crimes, stopped by these judges, attorneys, and other associated members of these organized crime theft rings?
Yes, I know people who just do not stop fighting for what is right. And I know that mm-hmm. they report it to local police departments and to district attorneys and to U.S. attorneys. And they contact the federal government and they try to get something terribly wrong made right. But you have to understand, right. the answer to that is this is a civil matter. A judge has already ruled. We can't do anything. It's a state-run program. We're the federal government. So there's this built-in shrug of the shoulders, like, yeah, gosh, it sounds bad, but we can't do anything for you. Bye-bye. So, you know, look, why is this happening? I believe because there is a very, very influential and numerous lobbyists out there for the guardianship system, for the nursing home system, for the hospital system, for the jurists, the judge organizations, associations. They don't want the status quo to change because then they'll end up making a living, you know? So exactly. Why is nothing ever done about it? Because all the insiders get together and lobby the lawmakers and whisper in their ear, everything's fine. The status quo, we're here to help. That's the name of my book. We're here to help when guardianship goes wrong. They're not here to help necessarily. They're not here to help in all cases. Sometimes they're in it to fill up their own wallet.
Yeah, we're here to help ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have made a good subtitle.
Yeah.
That would. Another question.
And then I have
I have
a few more.
Okay, go ahead. And then I have some questions, too, that are people are shooting over to me as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Maybe just
all
go
right,
back and
so
forth.
So what are your thoughts on that, being able to take million-dollar properties and incarcerate persons without a grand jury indictment and without a jury trial and definition of slavery? This is a modern-day soft Holocaust, and it's enslavement of our people.
Well, again, I'm going to tell you that whole grand jury thing is beside the point. Okay, there are no grand juries in civil cases, and these are considered civil cases. Now, is that right? No, it's not right, but that's the way it is. Is it slavery? In many cases, I do think it's slavery.
Yeah.
I can't,
and
I
how
can't
about
tell you.
Holocaust?
What?
Yeah. It's like a Holocaust.
Yeah, it's a Holocaust.
And then the other question is, why do you think that the... I'm sorry.
I'm not going to agree it's like a Holocaust. That 6 million Jews dying in a short period of time in Nazi Germany is not the same as what's happening in the guardianship system. What's happening in the guardianship system is horrible in many, many cases. Some cases it work out just fine. But these buzzwords like Holocaust or Nazi or even slavery, it's not really slavery, but that's the only phrase that you've just used that I might agree with. I have talked to so many people over 8 years of investigating this topic that they're not incapacitated. They might, you know, be a little forgetful about where they put their car keys, but they're not incapacitated. Yet they are held with no civil rights, no right to their own money or to say where they will live. And that is a form of a type of slavery. I'll go with that.
Yeah, I would think. And then he goes, why do you think the media is refusing to report more on these jury trial denials, human trafficking, and million-dollar property strong arm thefts? Why do you think the media is refusing to report all that?
I don't think the media is refusing to report that.
No?
I think not enough of the media are reporting it.
Oh,
there are lots of reporters in Florida that are all over this topic. There are lots of in California and in, I'm trying to think of Heather, oh, gosh, I can't remember. She's a TV reporter. Where is Dana Nessel, the district attorney? Michigan? There's lots of reporters who are writing columns about individual little cases. The Washington Post, Florida case, just last week. I was heartened to see now the Washington Post has jumped on the bandwagon. But mainstream media does not report this because this, you all know about this system, but the general public doesn't know about guardianship because it's secret. You know, there's secret court hearings that are closed to the public. Documents are sealed. There are gag orders. The general public does not understand how anybody could guardianize them or someone they love tomorrow. They just don't get it. So why isn't the mainstream media all over this topic every single day? Because they don't know about it. That's why I wrote it.
There's one other thing that I just want to interject.
Yeah, that's what we need to get to.
Hold on. Let me interject something, if you'll hold just a moment. That is, we have had reporters that where we got a large group of families, and reporters came in and they interviewed them on camera, and they had a very in-depth, multi-day reporting set up and all ready to go, and then the legal department at the television station killed the story.
Yep.
We can't afford the lawsuits that will come out of telling the truth about what's going on.
Do you believe that's happening across the nation,
Diane? I do believe that's happening. And furthermore, listen, I spend a lot of time on television at the local level and at the national level. And if you want to know my bio, you can look it up on my website. And news directors or news editors at newspapers are cowards a lot of times. I happen to find a great one in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Albuquerque Journal, who in 2016 allowed me to write a six-part series on guardianship, and I name names. I name names of bad guardians and bad conservators and bad judges, and this editor, Kent Walls is his name, he's now retired, he saw what I had developed, saw my evidence, and he said, let's go. But that's very few and far between. He was one of those old hard-bitten guys who said, this needs reporting. But in a local TV station, you got some 28-year-old guy or girl who's sitting there in the news director's chair, and, gosh, it sounds complicated, and we better put this through the legal department. And now the legal department is reading a script that has their fellow lawyer's name all over it. And some guardian lawyers that they might know. And they might, oh, gosh, we're naming names. We can't do that. That's cowardly journalism. And does it happen? Yeah, it happens all the time.
I agree. I agree. I hate to hear that. I agree. I do see that happening because we've got personal experience watching it happen in real time right in front of our eyes.
Right.
But the other, the other part of that is, this is Robin Austin. The other part of this story is that there are very real risks for whistleblowers. You know, we're at risk because we tell these stories.
Yeah.
You're at risk because you publish this book and these stories. A television station didn't run that story in particular, saying they'll sue us out of existence, and that may have been the absolute truth. They may have realized that there was just no way to cover themselves from the legal firestorm that would be kicked up by the extremely powerful attorneys that were mentioned in the story that have unlimited resources and basically unlimited resources because they're robbing, you know, $8 million dollars from the 27 families that we know and the 250 other families that they're also robbing that we don't have their stories because they were too afraid to tell them, you know.
Right.
So these people have war chests that are gigantic, and You really are going
However,
against the behemoth.
I'll tell
so,
you.
Yes,
having,
it is cowardly, but there's this truth about it, too.
Yeah, oh, there is. And I have been sued. I was sued for $100 million by no less than Michael Jackson. But truth is a defense. Their legal departments had a spine. They would say to the reporter, show me how you can prove that what you're saying here is true. Let me see your evidence. Let me, you know, if you just have somebody on camera saying, well, I was denied a grand jury and that's not evidence. You have to have evidence. Okay. So if the reporter needed to go back and bulletproof the script, then let them do that. Don't just cancel the entire series that you have prepared. It's cowardly, and I'm saying, Robin, where did that happen? What state are we talking about?
That was in Colorado.
Colorado. Yeah.
We've had a lot of some media come out, but like I say, they cut them off. We did have Jennifer Kowalewski covering them. She was very careful on what to say.
Yes.
But the threat of our journalists, you know, of good attorneys, family members were all targets in this situation, and it's not just incapacitated people; it's everybody
right.
that's involved. I mean, do
mm-hmm.
you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and can I tell you all, everybody who's listening, if you have a horrendous guardianship, tell, get documentation, get as much proof as you can. If there is another family member that will come with you to a television station and look at the assignment editor or the news director and say, listen, I know this sounds crazy, but this is what happened, and here's my proof. Here's some court documents. Here is a statement from my brother who lives in another state who will vouch for what I'm saying. I have an attorney who will go on the record with you. I'm sorry to say, but you have to sort of spoon feed this stuff to reporters.
Right.
Because
another topic,
you know, it's hard to understand that this kind of stuff can go on in America. So if you can put court documents in front of them or somehow mm-hmm. prove, take a video of the guardianized person saying, why the hell can't I leave my own house? Why am I in a nursing home? I don't belong here. I'm perfectly coherent. I know who the president is. I know how much money I had in the bank when all this started. Get a video to give to them. Give them proof of what you're saying. I have to tell you guys, God bless all of you, but I have heard some wild, crazy stories over the last 8 years, and I can only write about the ones that I can prove, you know?
Yeah.
So try as hard as you can more media to start covering this story, this topic. It's so vital.
Exactly. And another thing we can add to that is make sure you organize your pictures, everything in
mm-hmm.
order so they can look at it as a book. And I know that some people write to, like, legislators, and they write to the news media, and you have if I can't read it, they can't read it. So you have to do it just short and sweet, strong words, and try to get it in front of them. I agree with you 100%.
And try
Diane,
not to
what
be hyperbolic. You know,
mm-hmm.
try keep a journal. You know, keep everything in order,
journal.
Chronological order. But when you write to the media or when you approach a newspaper reporter or whatever, try not to sound hysterical. Don't use words like, and the Guardian was a Nazi and she was a horrible,
yeah.
you know, terrible. Keep it calm. Keep it to the facts.
Yeah.
Because if you come
mm-hmm.
off hysterical, the reporter's going to go, woo, this person, I don't really know if I can trust what they're saying.
Right.
I agree with you with that, 100%. I remember talking to a couple of our journalists out here, and I was really calm and says, this is what's happening, and they took it up immediately, and we had segment after segment being done. And so Another question
I
have for you, Diane. What do you think about supported decision making? Do you think that's a good thing or not a thing? Because I get so much controversy on there. What's your feelings on that?
Well,
do you know,
No, and I dedicate some pages in the book to it. I want to love it because it's less than the very strict guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know that there are a couple of states who have put in their laws and regulations, a judge may consider supported decision-making instead. Well, that's like, you know, he may go to the casino and won $1 million tonight. You know, it's not making the judge actually think about a less restrictive way. It's just a mere suggestion. Now, do I know that it works? Yeah, I do know that it works if it's done correctly. I write a chapter about a young woman, Down syndrome woman, Jenny Hatch. Anybody know her story? It's a remarkable story.
Oh.
Yeah, she found a great lawyer, a man named Martinez, and went to court, won the right to be put under it's not guardianship, but this new thing called supported decision making. And from what I can understand, it's volunteers. Some states even have paid supported decision making aides, like a staff, that help people just with their everyday decisions. She has Down syndrome, but she's not stupid. She works at a job full-time. She rides her bike. She's very politically active. She goes to dance classes, and she's very social. She just needs a little help sometimes trying to make a decision. She was faced with having to have some surgery, and should she go ahead with it or not? And so it's talked out. She makes the final decision, but she has people to give her good advice. So that was quite successful, and she's a very happy person and the poster child for supported decision making. Is it always going to work like that? Probably not. You know, unless the state really embraces that whole idea and really sets up a system, then it too can be exploited. You know, somebody could get a Jenny Hatch type to write them a check for $1,000. And then skip town. So I'm just not sure that it is as well thought out in all the states as it could be. What do you hear about it? What do you hear the negatives are?
I've heard so many conflicting stories that that's why I was asking you, because I've never had a complete answer on any of it. I mean, I've talked to advocates across the country, and everyone's saying, well, I don't like it. It still involves the judge. And I'm just mm-hmm. trying to find out some cases that actually work. So I'm glad I talked to you about it, because I'm kind of up in the air about it. I mean, I hear attorneys saying, oh, it's a good thing, and attorneys say that it's not a good thing. So, yeah, it's really a controversial issue, I think.
Yeah, it really is. And, mm-hmm. you know, when we went through the horrible, and we still are, frankly, with drugs in this country, many states started drug courts. Just to handle cases, drug courts. And then when we realized that so many veterans were falling through the cracks and turning to crime, we started veterans courts. So mm-hmm. maybe we need to start a special branch. I mean, this is real Pollyanna pie in the sky, but guardianship courts that understand the level of need for certain people. And, you know, if you've just been in a coma because you were in a car accident and now you're recovered, you shouldn't be in guardianship anymore, period. But I found many cases like that.
Right.
I found so many cases like that, Diane, where people have come out of, like you said, they come out of their coma, they don't need a guardianship, and they cannot get out.
Right, right.
There's got to be a way that there's got to be some attorneys that are willing to take on these cases more. I mean, I know there's a lot of attorneys being targeted as well. You know, what do you think about jury trials instead of a judge? I know that they say we're supposed to have jury trials. What do you think of that?
Well, hey, why not? You know, if it, now would you put make a jury trial at the inception of a guardianship? I mean, you know how many guardianships are underway right now in the United States of America, guardianships and conservatorships? 2 million. There are 2 million people right now
That's
living
horrible.
Under guardianship. Yeah. So
it might even
gonna
be
have
higher
a jury?
Than that because no one's keeping track.
Well,
yeah.
I explain it in the book, the last tally from the National Association of Courts, or I can't remember the exact name, was 1.5 million, 1.3 to 1.5 million. Well, that was many years ago, and it didn't include people in conservatorship. It was only guardianship. So I'm extrapolating figures here. But so now you're going to have
a
jury trial with what, 12 jurors for 2 million cases? We'll all be at jury duty.
If I could just say
they need to have them because this is crazy. Why do you think that no good attorneys will help any of these good people across the country being illegally trafficked of their kids, parents, freedom, properties, et cetera? Do you think the good attorneys are scared of retaliation by the bar association?
Well, again, I wouldn't say there are no attorneys that will, because there are some attorneys that are taking these cases, and they're very few and far between, I agree. But, yes, I think that most lawyers don't want to sue other lawyers or take on or defame or say anything bad against a fellow attorney. And that's a sad state of affairs. But there's a lot of there are attorneys. Well, look, Britney Spears got out because she didn't go to a regular lawyer. Everybody in this system seems to go to an estate lawyer or an elder law lawyer for advice. That's not what she did. Britney Spears went to a litigator. And
there
a litigator, they're not in it to, you know, have a long, lengthy trial and, you know, call witnesses and rack up a bunch of fees. Litigators are strategists, and they figure out the best way to have hearings before the judge and get the whole damn thing dismissed. And there are cases, there's a man down in Florida named Denman, Mr. Denman, who is an attorney, and he has taken on the predatory bar and won a big federal case regarding guardianship. It's the Oliver Bivens case, and I write about it in the book. So I really stress to everybody, please don't do absolutes like there's nobody who will take these cases. All the judges are crooks. All of the lawyers are – no, they're not. And when you say absolutes like that to a member of the media who you want to cover your story, they're going to say, oh, boy, this person, I can't even deal with this person because they're so out there. So be really factual when you talk to a member of the media because they're going to think less of you if you're not. And I understand what the gentleman was asking about the grand jury system and stuff, but that doesn't even apply to guardianship. I mean, yeah, should it? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it should someday, but it doesn't apply right now. And to keep bringing up, you know, how come there's no grand jury proceeding? Well, because there just isn't in that type of a court. Anyway.
Right.
I guess he was talking the last one was if you had heard about Roger Hilligus in Nevada.
I write about that case. And, yeah, I've got that story in the book.
Yeah.
What about that?
No, he was, this is a long one, but this is the last one. Have you heard about the Hansi and Hilligus case in Nevada where a 30-year state trooper and sheriff? But you've already heard that, so.
Yes, I've heard about that case. What's the question about it? Does
okay,
the person
the question,
have a question? This is a man, while she's looking there, Roger Hillegas, his mother was in a nursing home, and the state of Nevada says he kidnapped her. Well, he did. He went and took her out of the nursing home under a false pretense. He presented some phony court documents, and the nursing home said, oh, okay, well, you have a court order. Here's your mom. Well, they were false documents, and he was charged with kidnapping his mother, took her to California. He was ultimately arrested. Could I just tell you, there are people that are writing to me saying they're on the line waiting to ask a question, but no one's picking up the phone.
I see a couple hands raised. I see one person that has her hand raised, but I'm trying to let you finish getting through the questions, and then we will go ahead and take our end callers if we're able to open our phone line. I'm kind of letting you to get everything up. Once I do bring in callers, that might kill the phone lines, and I'm not sure, so I'm just kind of playing it easy for right now.
Okay. I'm done with
the questions.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few more. What do you feel about the isolation of our elders? I mean, I know that's a really big topic, and what do you feel about that? I mean, I think that's one of the things that irritates me the worst of this whole guardianship abuse, is how they're treating our elders.
Yeah.
Do you think there needs to be more codes up on nursing homes, with nursing homes and guardians? I mean, there should be no cahoots going on there. What do you think about that whole situation?
I think it's unconscionable to keep an elderly person away from the people that they love. Now, you know, the excuse is always, a guardian will say, oh, well, I don't want the daughter coming in or the son coming in because they upset the mother. Then she gets all upset. Well, you know what? Families bicker. They just do. Maybe I'm lucky. Mine doesn't, but I have a tiny little family, one daughter, one husband. I have some grandkids now. But families don't always get along, but they love each other. And to isolate especially an elderly person away from their family because the guardian said so and the nursing home complies with it, I just think that's elder abuse. And there are laws against elder abuse. And why local police departments or district attorney's offices don't insert themselves and start filing some charges, I don't know. I'll tell you, folks, I have heard case after case, especially during the pandemic, where elderly people were told by the guardian, oh, your family doesn't come visit you because they don't love you anymore. And then the person dies all by themselves. Everybody's talking at once. What?
Okay. So, Hillary, where have you been? I haven't heard you on here. Where are you at?
Listening to everyone and, of course, trying to make my way in, which thank you, Luann, for letting me. But, you know, I always try to make a little light of what was definitely the worst situation in my life, and I'm sure my children and my father's life, worse than losing my mother to cancer in 2003. But you have to try and have a little humor. But just talking about, you know, when the guardianship happened to my dad, I thought I could contact the police, you know, go to the courthouse, speak to the judge. And I remember the first time I called the FBI, I was listening to the background music and I was basically hyperventilating. Now I can call the FBI with a sandwich in my hand, you know, because we know that these important, you know, government agencies or federal agencies will do absolutely nothing for our family members, that we're on our own. And a good majority of family members do not have the financial backing to get a high profile attorney, but the isolation is such a huge detrimental situation for the elderly in guardianship, to the point where I know, Diane, believe that you did a piece on Gediminas Pakalnis, who's my friend, and his aunt, Janita Dursay, who when COVID was about Getty reached out to the guardian, the judge, the guardian's attorney, and said, listen, you have my aunt's money. Please let her come home to her beachfront property to a safe place. We can put on an ankle bracelet like prisoners get. But please, we will give your prisoner back when COVID, dissipates. And, of course, they said no, and Mr. Dorsey died alone, a horrible death of COVID-19. And right. Yeah, it's, you know, what are you going to do? Who are you going to complain? Denise Willis in Orange and Seminole, she was removed from all of her cases, Diane, and she had a lot. She took over the majority of Fearley's cases. And 2 years later, SBLE agent, and I will say because I've reached out to him, Michael Giddens, who claims he's on DeSantis's presidential detail, security detail, in 2 years he still hasn't interviewed Denise Willis. The inspector general sent it to him, and they do nothing, absolutely nothing. So, you know, it's good we're getting a lot of media, and it's great that you've written this, I mean, phenomenal book, but so much more needs to be done, and it's because of your writing, Diane, that things will start to change. So, again, thank you for all you do.
No, I remember speaking with you early on in the Dorsey case, and I write about her and Getty in the book and what they went through. And it just, you know, the things – somebody asked me earlier today in another interview, why do you do this? Why do 8 years to investigate this topic? And the bottom line is I don't like bullies. I don't like people who victimize weaker people. And it's so heartless and so unnecessary for family to be isolated, for elderly people to be over-medicated to keep them compliant. I mean, we're making zombies out of wards in many cases, and they're not just elderly people. I tell you, they're not just elderly people. I had a case of somebody in Tennessee who was 38 years old. She saved her money and she bought a condo and had a nice car, and she unfortunately fell down the stairs in her new condo and had a traumatic brain injury. And when she woke up, she was guardianized.
Was that Ginger?
Escaping me right now.
Franklin?
Yeah, Ginger Franklin, right. She wakes up and she's in a group home. I'm making a longer story short. She's in a group home. And she's just fine, but she can't get out of guardianship. And the group home, talking about slavery, they put her to work managing all the other patients' medications and the computer, doing all the shopping, doing the cleaning, doing the grocery, doing the cooking. But she's incapacitated and under guardianship. She ultimately won an award from the state for wrongful imprisonment, but it was a small amount.
Wow.
Yeah. So I just, education, I guess, is the best way to get the public interested. You know, there's all these little topics that come up. Everybody gets all up in arms about, you know, transgender or, I'm not diminishing any of this, but transgender bathrooms or, you know, these topics. And I wonder why this topic hasn't just grabbed everybody by the throat. And I guess it's just because most people don't understand it. They don't realize what it's really all about.
A lot of people don't even know about it. You're exactly right. And I think education, Diane, is the only way we're going to get through to them, because we've tried legislating. I mean, we sat down there, talked in legislation in front of Supreme Court. We've been in front of legislation, I bet you, for like 6 solid years. And I think the only way that we can do anything at all is either through the media and through education, books, whatever we can do. I mean, what do you think?
Well, you know, Rick, the one of the problems that I see is that that there are laws on the books. I mean, let's just talk plainly. These people commit crimes. These are crimes. If I were an ordinary citizen or any other ordinary citizen were to take someone away from their place of work or their home or and lock them away and deprive them of liberty and, you know, take away their phone and then deny family access.
We would all
and start robbing them and take their property and empty their bank account. If I were to do those things, then that's kidnapping and robbery and thuggery. I mean,
you'd be in prison.
I would face charges for that. These are crimes.
Yep.
And, the laws, there are laws on the books against those kinds of things. But when it is a organized crime organization with the cover of a court and it's done under color of law,
it's okay.
Then now you have the judge in the robe with a wooden hammer banging the gavel saying it's all okay. And now where do you complain when it's the organ of justice that you're supposed to claim to, and that's the source of the oppression?
Exactly.
Right.
So who do you complain to? Anybody want to answer that? Because I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, I always call that the $3 billion question. But what do you think about that?
And have you ever thought of it this way? You're exactly right, Robin. They do all of these terrible things, yet they're accusing the family members of being the bad guys. And
exactly.
If the family does one little thing, if they violate a gag order, they're fined. They can be put in prison or jail on a contempt of court. If they burst their way in to an isolated ward and they want to see their person that they love so dearly, they can be arrested. The guardian arrests a family member just for coming to forcing their way into their mother's house to see their mother because she's sick. So
exactly.
The family members are so vilified when, in fact, they're not really the bad guys. They may be emotional because of what's happening to their loved one, but they're not the bad guys. Yeah, you know, sometimes,
exactly.
Let's be honest, sometimes some family members are the bad guys. They're stealing money from mom or dad, or I have a case in the book where there's a pretty clear allegation that a son was sexually abusing his elderly mother. You know, so there are bad family members, but not criminal. They're not usually criminal. They're upset and they're anxious and they're frustrated. And sometimes they get charged for things when, in fact, it's the guardian and the lawyers and the judges that are doing the victimization.
Exactly.
Diane and Hillary and I, are all witnesses and victims of that. Okay?
Exactly.
And it's cruel that they're doing this. They did this to our mothers and to Hillary's father. And, you know, thank God that my mother, I was able to see her. And in spite of her Alzheimer's and dementia, short-term memory loss, when she saw me, she said, "I waited to die till I saw you." They used to tell me that you didn't come around to see me. And
my mom.
And I love you. But all this time, these inhumane people kept doing this to my sweet mama. But God made a way. And to hear the sadness and the pain and the suffering and the torture that they put her through, it's something that to this day gives me nightmares.
Multiply that by all the cases across the country.
Exactly.
So
it is my driving force to never give up till I die.
I know that about you.
One victim at a time.
And you can take We are actually going to open our phone lines here, and everybody just, you know, call in if you can to this phone number, 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and sometimes you have to put a 1 in front of that, so it's 1-845-241-9962. You press a 1, and let's see if I can get some people into the studio to go ahead and take these phone calls, because let's see what we can do about this, okay, because I want to see if the phones are working.
And, of course, you press a 1 if you have a question
if
or
you,
a comment
exactly.
And would like to join the discussion.
We're going to wait for a few seconds. For we've got a couple callers already. We're going to wait a few more seconds for that. But there's a lot of people,
I think,
you know, asking. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Angela Woodhull is on the line, and I tell her mother's story in the book. She texted me while we were talking that she was waiting on the line. So,
okay, so I'm trying to figure out which one that is. But I'm going to bring in a 610 number first. A 610, do you have a question or a comment or anything you want to share with us?
You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Blah, blah, blah. Go ahead.
Is that
610?
Me? Is that me?
Yes.
Hi, it's Elaine McMahon. Hi, everybody, and hello, Diane.
Elaine, how are you?
Yes, fine, thank you. Thank you for the book. It's a great book. I'm so happy it came out, and I hope it becomes very, very popular. It's a really important issue, and just like you said, like all these other issues that are like, you know, they're not discounted, but they're certainly not as important as something like this. Any one of us could be victims to this, and as Diane knows, because she included me in her book, I happen to be someone who they attempted guardianship through, and that was through the divorce court. And what was interesting is that when they wrote a petition, the petition wasn't a pure guardianship petition. It was like, we'd like to get injunctive relief, you know, to steal your assets. But in the alternative, they're asking the judge, can we have a guardianship? And, you know,
and this is during a divorce hearing. This is, you stunned me. You were one of the aha moments during my research, Elaine, when you told me that you had been threatened with and almost guardianized by a divorce attorney.
Yes,
women everywhere,
and they tried
shudder.
It twice. They tried it twice, and then you were so shocked, and I said, oh, no, I know women who they actually did get the guardianship on. They cleaned their assets out, and then after they stole and signed away all their assets, then they took the guardian off and left the lady home, all these different women throughout the state that I have, you know, I had met. They left them broke and homeless, and these people are so distraught, you can't ever recoup from this again.
And guess who pays the bill for these ladies who are left penniless because they've been guardianized during a divorce? Us.
Well,
the taxpayers. She goes on the public dole.
Right, most of them, and one of the things I wanted to comment on is that one of the things that I've recognized through all these years is the attacks are it's typically on people who may present as a vulnerable person. So it could be somebody who says, oh, they could go to their doctor and they find out they're sick with something, and the person will just say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have anyone to help me out. And now you just put yourself on the radar to be a victim. You know, anyone who they think is by themselves, who doesn't. So when you mentioned about family members all sticking together, well, that is exactly the key. And the problem is when the system, the people in the system detect a break in the link, when we have family members fighting amongst each other instead of sticking together, that's what makes somebody vulnerable. Or if you're like a person in one of these other situations, you know, whether it's workman's comp or divorce court or somewhere else, and they see you're by yourself, you don't got a whole crowd of people showing up for you, you made yourself vulnerable. It's easy to take somebody down and try this. Okay, so
yeah.
They didn't get a guardian on me. I had two different people with me. I had one attorney and another person with legal background. They didn't get it on me, and I showed Diane that this my ex-husband's attorney, who was 80-something years old, he said, she can't read English. I would love for him to try that today when we have so many people pouring into our country who can't even speak English, let alone read English. And I do read English. I learned in first grade like most other people.
Don't give too much away now.
Okay, the other thing I was going to mention is that where I'm at, it turns out that I know that one of the judges, there was two judges basically that did orphans court where I live in that courthouse, and her husband was the attorney for the big newspaper where I live, you know, in the field. So all these things get censored when all kinds of certain corruption, no matter how calm you remain, regardless if you have proof of records, everything is being censored. It's really, really, really difficult to get anything out there. Once in a while, something will get out about a situation. But I did spend time, a lot of time today with someone calling me, you know, in this terrible panic. Somebody who's living in their car now for the last 2 months because the mother's under guardianship. They will not let this person see, and they charge the person a fee. He has to pay a monitoring fee to see his mother, and they will not let him see her because they don't want him to. He's not allowed to have. He wasn't allowed to have a telephone. He's not allowed to say certain things, and they really have censored him from even having any contact or communication. It's really tragic.
Right.
Yeah, that's just so. Anyway, I don't want to take more time with other callers. But
okay,
thank
bye.
You, Diane, for the book. And
Elaine. Thank you so much. She's
right.
In the
right.
States,
okay, we're
going to
bring in.
Way.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in the show. We are going to go to. Okay, we're going to bring on a 402 number, area code 402. Question or comment? Welcome to Faces Radio. 402?
402, you're live on the air. Area code 402.
Oh,
go ahead.
Somebody went out for a sandwich, I think.
Yes, it looks like they.
Okay, I'm going to go back to 402 after a bit. Maybe they can't get through the lines. I'm not sure. We're going to try a 352 number. Is that good? 352?
Yeah, that's me. Am I on?
Yeah,
you're
on.
Yeah.
Welcome to Faces.
Hi, Diane. It's Angela Woodhull. Hey, it's Angela Woodhull. I tell her story in the book, and it's a fascinating one. Yeah, and one of the things that you covered, I actually saw Detective Blizzard a couple weeks ago to see if he could open up the cold case. It's about my mother being over-medicated to death when I decided to sue the nursing home and Rebecca Furley. And so the punishment was to over-medicate my mother to death, which is really hard to prove. I'm wondering how many other cases you found like that. Could you talk about that?
Yes. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I found numerous cases where loved ones said, I believe my mother, father, disabled brother, sister, whoever it was over-medicated to death. In other words, folks, murdered at the hands of the guardian's orders.
Yeah.
State of Nevada, I'll give you an example. Well, first of all, Angela's mother was only in guardianship for about 3 months under the guise of Rebecca Farrelly. Now, I'm sure people listening to this know all about the saga of Rebecca Farrelly, but Angela was one of the very first people way back when to complain about Rebecca Farrelly. She is a licensed private detective. She took all of her evidence to law enforcement in her state and federally, and nobody listened to her about Rebecca Farrelly. And then look at the commotion and crimes she committed afterward. Crimes, in my opinion. I think it's a crime, many of the things she did. But in the state of Nevada, there were many in the state of Nevada, but there were two in particular, Patience Bristol and Jared Schaefer. And these two, in chat rooms after the fact, were accused of causing malnutrition, starvation, suicide, and over-medicating, ordering their wards to be over-medicated. Now, I found this information in a credible chat room online. It was an anonymous chat room where people felt safe to say what they really felt. And there was no way for me to confirm this stuff because it was all anonymous. Some of it was 3 or 4 years old. Some of it was more current. But in my independent research, I discovered that this duo and others in the state of Nevada and in other states, California is another one, the guardians were so negligent, and Texas was another bad state. They were either so negligent or they just ordered so much medication to be administered to their ward that they became like a walking zombie and then ultimately died. Now, Angela, in your mother's case, they found three major narcotics in her system, right? This little 5-foot-tall woman?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were narcotics I can't even pronounce. I wrote them, I spelled them correctly in the book. But Angela got her mother's urine bag by the side of the bed right after death, took it away, long story short, got it tested at a laboratory, and they found these three massive doses of these three narcotics in her system, all ordered up by the guardian. So now, is that murder? No charges were ever filed, but it sure sounds awful to me.
Oh, my gosh.
It is. That's horrible.
Well, that's clever to get her pee tested. I mean, wow.
Angela's a private investigator, so she knows. She knew just what to do.
I just saw
Detective Blizzard, and he actually listened this time. He spent more than an hour with me, but he asked me straight up, where do we go with this? Who do we prove administered this? I'm at a loss.
Yeah, it was several years ago now, too. Nursing home facility probably has a completely different staff. Yeah, mm-hmm. It would be difficult, wouldn't it?
It's so sad what's going on with everybody. Oh. And I agree with you, Diane. We've had some horrific stories over the last, just on our radio for 7 years, and sometimes I put these shows out the night before, or the day before, and I'm just kind of sick to my stomach, and I really just think this can't be true. This can't be going on, and they are horrible crimes. What's going on?
Makes you feel helpless.
I agree with you.
It really makes you feel helpless.
You know, and I cry with some people sometimes. They just cry on our show. We don't know what else to do. You know. But we're hoping that, you know, with your book and all these other media outlets, that something really seriously gets done with everything. I mean, that would be wonderful. I can't even tell you enough. Angela, we're going to move on. We've got like four more callers in here. Thank you. Appreciate you for calling in. And you're on next week, by the way. I think I have you booked for next week to come on to our show.
Yes.
Okay. Angela Woodhull on next week, everybody. That ought to be interesting. She's a wonderful guest. I mean, she's some of these stories that I've told, people don't even believe me. You know, I remember when I was on Facebook the other day, I was telling them about what goes on in a court, and they were telling me, you don't know what you're talking about, and kept sending them Hidden Truth Revealed. I'm like, I don't think I have time to talk to them, but it's outrageous. 678, area code number 678. Welcome to Faceless Radio.
Well, this is Doug Franks, and it's an honor to be on Faces Radio today.
Hi, Doug.
How are you guys?
Haven't heard from you in a while.
I know. Lulu, Hillary. Marcy and Diane Diamond, of course. So I'm happy to get on this radio station tonight and say hi to everybody. You know, something was brought up. Number one, we all have horrific cases. If our case is the worst, we always find one that's even more despicable than ours was. And that's this constant thing is no one has it on anybody. There's always a worse case. And for me, I've had
that's
to kind of retract a little bit and take some deep breaths and try to enjoy life because it just has been a miserable existence to fight this. But something was said earlier, and I just wanted to – it brought a memory, so then I got on the phone and I called in. Rick and I think Hillary's there, and maybe Marcy was there at one of the Florida Senate mm-hmm. subcommittee hearings. And mm-hmm. before we got to speak, they were talking about how sad and horrible it was that they weren't able to see their parents or their loved ones during COVID in the hospital. And I made a point to make sure they knew, well, that's COVID. This is for us all the time. We can't see our mom or our dads or our loved ones,
right.
not just during this COVID thing, but for years. And it's almost like, I don't want to hear you complain. You need to fix our situation. Because ours is an everyday occurrence that brings the sadness. And again, your parents die alone in COVID. Well, everybody's in guardianship's parents die alone, and it's mostly women. It's a crime against women. It's a hate crime as far as I'm concerned because they outlive the men. And all these men that are my dad's age, they would have killed these people, just shot them, you know, for doing what they did to their wives. But, you know, the whole idea is we have our day in court. It'll happen. You just got to have the truth. And, man, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And as I was a kid, I used to hear people say, hey, watch out for the man, being the police or the government and the man. The man's going to get you. I'm like, oh, that's a joke. That's a joke. Well, if you don't have power, if you don't have influence, there is a man, and now there is a woman, and they'll get you. And they'll take everything away from you, and you won't have a chance. And everything that they do wrong, they say that you're doing wrong, and it's just it's a legal quicksand is what it is. The other day I thought about that, and this is what it is. But the harder we try, the more we sink. I had my mom had a website. I had banners. I got lucky enough to get the Wall Street Journal and the Guardian out of England to interview me. And so I had all these things that just the dice or the cards landed right for me, and all that pressure helped get my mom free. And some people said, how'd you do it? I'm like, man, God was a big part of it. And I was extremely aggressive trying to get the word out. And there was an incredible guy in the state of Florida that did news stories about my mom. And I was super lucky, and I know that. And I was able to have the freedom with my mom for about 45 days until she passed. I had a Chick-fil-A in my arms eating some ice cream. And it was a great day all except for the end of it. But I did get my mom free. And I just want to tell other people, you know, like Diane said, you got to go to media. You can't sound like you're just a crazed person. You got to have some facts and documentation that prove so they know that you can be vetted and they can follow what you're saying and it's truthful. So that's an important thing to do. And if you do nothing and you try to get along with these people, you're going to end up with a loved one that's dead. And broke, you know, and die. They die alone. So that's a little bit I wanted to add today. And again, this book that Diane has done, it's a fantastic another step we need, and we just need more steps and braver people to come forward. It's just, I don't know, people are just afraid, and that's the sad point, you know. And some of the other people have been involved with this, and they've burned out in it, and they've left the battle and just said, I'm living my life. I won't name any. You know, I mean, I'm at that point. It's like, damn, we've gone to the Florida House, the Senate, we've gone to D.C., and if we made any progress, it's almost like, no, the people just don't remember us, or there's something going on. They don't care. And that's just real frustrating to try to get your government, these people that you voted for, that's supposed to protect us, they won't do it. And hell, so many other things that they don't matter. What matters is the elderly being taken advantage of and elder abuse. It's what's going on, and that needs to be a big deal that people need to stand up for and our government's just not standing up for them. And how do you get them to stand up, man? I don't know. You know, I wish I knew the answer. But, again, maybe these conversations will continue to help percolate this thing, and eventually the right person will hear it, and the right movement will be made to make this a, we got to stop this guardianship abuse.
You know, Doug, it's so nice to hear you, your voice, and to hear you tell, give other people advice about how to talk to the media. And thank you so much for the kind words about my book. It was a labor of love, really. And anyway, I appreciate that. And can I just ask a favor of anybody who read the book, who thinks it's a worthy book? Could you just go online, if you bought it at Amazon.com, and write a review? These reviews help spread the word, help spread sales of the book. If you didn't buy it, the only way you can put a review on Amazon is if you bought the book through Amazon. So if you didn't buy it there, go to Goodreads.com, Goodreads.com. And look up my book there, and you could put a review there. It really, really does help. And I hope, you know, I didn't just write this book and I'm going to walk away. I have been already booked ahead of time to speak to all sorts of groups. I really want to get the word out to all the different communities. Today there was a podcast that dropped, I recorded it last week, called Mad in America. And this is a psychiatric and science podcast. And they're very concerned about people who just have like a little mental breakdown for a month or two being put into guardianship. Anyway, that's another podcast, if you're interested, Mad in America is the name of it. I'm speaking to different groups. I'm going to be doing a presentation at the National Arts Club here in New York City. The National Republican Women's Club wants me to come and tell them about guardianship. I'm trying to get into the Democratic Women's Club to talk to them. I've tried to get AARP to become interested in, you know, writing about my book in their magazine or doing a podcast with me. I've been talking to younger people, youth groups that are interested in finance, because again, they can grow up and make a will and have a power of attorney and all that stuff. And if they put their parents in guardianship, they can lose their entire inheritance because it'll go to the guardian or the lawyer or the court visitor or whoever. So if anybody out there has a group that they think they need a speaker for, I am there. I can't fly myself all over the country, of course. I just can't afford that, but I can sure do a Zoom talk. So keep me in mind, please.
That's perfect. Again,
church groups
for two as well.
Church groups. I think
right.
Church groups and synagogues. And
yes,
if everybody just share it, I shared you with Now organization, and of course
yes.
I connected you with Florida Now as well. And I'm going to continue to do that
today.
For you. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so
you're
much.
Welcome.
Yeah. And
you're
Doug, thank
so
you
welcome.
For calling in too as well. And I know your mom was just, those videos that you put out there with your mom are the most adorable things I've ever seen. Has your
I
case
know.
Ever settled? Is your case settled yet?
No, not quite yet.
No?
I was assigned to be the trust manager on December 15th of 2022, and the trust manager never did leave until, well, they haven't left yet. They haven't left yet. So I guess they want to be there another year in contempt of court, but they'll get away because that's just how it happens. You know, one last thing, Diane, you know, next time there's a Florida subcommittee hearing meeting, these people would all go, they would turn many different shades of different colors if you were there. And ask some questions. That would be incredible. But for any state that has these subcommittee hearing meetings, and they're simple to go to, you sign your name, you get there on time, you get to speak. And that would be something amazing, I think. So just a thought. But, hey, thank you, everybody, for your time and your hard work.
I have a few frequent flyer miles left. Maybe I could come on down there to Florida for that.
I did appear before an Arizona board. So, yeah, mm-hmm. good. Keep me in mind.
Keep her in mind, yeah.
Thanks,
Doug.
Okay, thank you, Doug,
thank
for calling
everybody.
In. Appreciate it. Always to hear all that, boy. I tell you, I really love Doug. He's just been just there for everybody. We have a 301 area code, and if you want to call into the show, I'm going to give you that phone number right now. It's 845-241-992. You press a 1. And we've got 301 area code.
Hi, there.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Brenda Daniel, and I'm out of Maryland, and I just wanted to thank all of you so much for the platform, Diane, for your fantastic book, and
thank you.
I hope something will change for the next generations, because it's surely devastating what's been happening. My mom was a victim. Her name, we go by Poochie. I was actually on with you, Luann, a number of months ago. And I'm curious to find out, why isn't the ACLU touching this? In my mind, this isolation is the number one issue, and civil rights violations. And I don't know why civil rights attorneys, the ACLU, aren't jumping all over this.
That is such a good question, and it's one I put to the American Civil Liberties Union. In the book, they answer the question, well, you know, we can't really be in every case in every state and every blah, 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 blah. And I was careful to ask the woman who I interviewed, well, but you did show up for the Britney Spears case. You wrote a friend of the court brief for the Britney Spears conservatorship case to get her out of guardianship. Well, yes, but we thought that was a good platform to help educate everyone in the world about the system. I'm sorry. I sort of saw it a completely different way. I saw it as a way the ACLU decided, well, we might as well get our name out there, and everybody's looking at this case, and our ACLU will be in the headlines right next to the name Britney Spears. So maybe I'm being too harsh on the American Civil Liberties Union, but what happens to a ward the very first thing once they're guardianized? They're stripped of their civil rights. So I'm with you, Brenda. Where the hell is the American Civil Liberties Union?
Yes. I was going to say there's
exactly,
an international there's an international covenant on civil and political rights, and that is all the laws, and no one has the right to do that to any human being. And Diane, I have this. I'm going to share it with you. And Brenda, I'm sorry about your mom. And if you message me your email, I will send you this piece as well.
That'd be great. And I just appreciate all of you so much. Your stamina, your dedication. I mean, it's just a labor of love. You all don't have to be doing this. It's complicated. It's ugly. But you do it. And anyway, it's appreciated.
That's nice to know you're not alone. And seeing your mom on seeing Poochie, you know, behind that screen, and oh my gosh, I still watch those all the time, and I just, that's why I keep going. To tell you the truth, I ask myself that all the time. Why do I keep doing this? That's the reason. Because like Diane was saying, that these are vulnerable people that need our help. And it's true, and that's why we keep at this. It's really true. Wow.
Right. There's so many things. I have a kind of indomitable spirit and a hardness about me, I guess. I don't know. And I just will not be stopped. As long as there is injustice in the world, I'm going to stand up and say, no, 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 no. And every once in a while, Luann gets to a point where she's, and, you know, to be honest about it, she does most of the work. She's the one that gets the radio show up and running. She contacts most of the guests. And, you know, it hits her hard, and it's hard on her. And there's times when she just said, why am I doing this? And then she'll see something like Pucci on the internet, and it just melts her heart, and she can't, you know, because she's got that same kind of heart that just says, I can't stand watching these bullies harming people. And no one, you know, it's hard to stand up to a bunch of bullies. It's hard to stand up to
gangs. Especially when they're your family members. And sadly, all the ones that I know personally, and I would almost wonder if it's not statistically greater that the damage is being caused by unwell family members that either initiate it or, you know, then they get the support from the systems. My brother-in-law is a local attorney. He was my mother's, in my mind, self-appointed power of attorney, de facto guardian. And my mother was hidden for the last 17 months of her life, trafficked 12 hours away to Chicago. By the grace of God, Carrie Kasem connected me to an attorney here in Maryland, and we were able to see my mother three times prior to her death, had to pay, had to be supervised, and she's literally dying. But that was still how this was handled. There was no grace, absolutely none. And at least I got to tell my mother that I loved her and hugged her before she left this earth, and to know that I didn't abandon her. So that does give me some comfort, and she's free of the bullies. She's with my siblings that passed on that love her and my father. So she's a better – she's free of them. And I'm okay with that in a sense. But anyway, enough about my situation. You all are fabulous, and I'm a huge fan, and I will continue, you know, to listen and support, and Diane, I'm absolutely going to get on Amazon.com and comment on your book, and we need that to become a bestseller, because everyone has got to get on board with this. All of us could be victims or someone we love, and it has to be forefront in our minds. These are real situations. The abuse, the greed, the collusion has got to stop. So thanks you guys.
Thank you.
Right.
Thanks
a
lot.
Videos going on out there with them, if you can, because that is, when you see a visual,
say that again,
a movie or something like that, that really does set in, you know.
It moves people. We feel the pain.
Well, it's clear she shouldn't have been locked up like a criminal. That she was not incapacitated. She had some mild memory loss, but for them to have risked her life in a deadly facility and isolated is unconscionable. And I know she's one of thousands that have had to go through this kind of life. So it's got to end.
So many don't have the chance to tell their story. So many don't have the guts to tell their story. So many don't have equipment or access. And so everyone that can tell their story, there's 100 more that would if they could, that you're telling their story as well.
Right. We're going to bring in another number, an 845 number. And I've noticed four or five callers that have called in and they faded off our show. They've had their hands raised. But if you call back into the show, I'll try to get you in real quick, so you don't fade away again. So we got an 845 number, and I noticed another 352 area code that faded off. There's quite a few of them that just fell off. So call back into the show if you can. 845, another.
You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Congratulations, Ms. Diamond, on your recent book.
Thank you.
Success and great reviews. I hope to read it when I get a chance. You know, this is, of course, we know this is the book, and everything that all of the co-hosts are doing, you know, is a great public service announcement, safety announcement. I just think that we need to get a little bit more assertive and forceful with what is actually happening. This is human trafficking, and it's public corruption, the epitome of public corruption, legalized through a weaponized legal system under the color of law. This is the transfer of wealth. Mm-hmm. The transfer of wealth. I don't think we don't have to get the rest of the country to get in on this. We just need to persevere. Relatively few people who are in on it need to be seriously committed to making this public service announcement, you know, a critical issue. We can't tippy-toe around human trafficking. It doesn't necessarily have to be about sex, but it does have to be about the profiteering, the benefiting, and the transferring of wealth and the destruction of human life with callous disregard. I don't hear that enough.
It really is. It sounds like somebody's doing the dishes in the background here.
Yeah, somebody's doing something. So you can mute your phone numbers. Yeah, while we're speaking, that'd be great. Go ahead.
It really is the largest transfer of wealth this nation has ever seen. Let me just throw out a couple of numbers for you. When you become a ward of the court, you're stripped of your civil rights, and all of your money, property, and investments are confiscated by the court and put in the name of your guardian. Every year in this country, state courts confiscate $50 billion mm-hmm. in estates. $50 billion every year. So is it any wonder that the insiders are fighting hard to keep the status quo? Is
Absolutely.
It any wonder that people with crime on their mind are attracted to work in this system? There's only three states that just recently said you have to be licensed to be a guardian. Some states don't even require you to get the silly certification that some states require, which is like watching videos online and then taking a little test. So, you know, I'm with the caller. We've got to be more outraged about it collectively, and everybody's got to work together toward the common goal of screaming from the rafters, this isn't right. This must be fixed. And honestly, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of reform little pockets of groups all across the country. I've talked to many of them, and there's a lot of backbiting going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me. Everybody's working for the same thing, to change the system. But this little group over here has a bone to pick with this little group over here. And this mm-hmm. big group here isn't talking to these people in that state because somebody made somebody mad. And I think to myself, imagine what you could do if you all got together, because you all have the same goal in mind. But,
exactly.
You know, I'm a journalist. I'm not a psychiatrist, so I can't get all the groups to work together. But imagine if they did. Wow, the power they would have.
Wow. Yeah, you know, and that's the problem. There's a lot of slinging between advocates, and I've been attacked so many times. It's like, you know, I already know what I'm about and what I do, and it's sad. It's really sad that these people take it on each other. You need to take it on the people that are causing the problems, and that's what I hear everybody when they say that. And it's like, I agree with you 100% on that. The advocate name calling has got to stop and just focus on what's really going on. I agree with that.
Yeah.
We're going to take in the more phone calls. They're falling off. we're going to put out that phone number again, 845-241-9962. You press a 1. And some people are saying that they're having a hard time getting into the station here, but 845-241-9962, you press a 1. And they'll let me know that you have a question or a comment here on Hidden Truth Revealed, everybody. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm sorry. I just wanted to continue with one more thing.
Go ahead. No, that's fine.
We need to also, I mean, guardianship and fraudulent guardianship is more accurate than just guardianship. The terminology that we use may not resonate with a lot of people, but one thing that all of these cases have in common is the theft of estate, which is the goal, ultimate goal and objective of these criminals. That would resonate with pretty much everybody if we're successful at garnering the attention of the people who care and who are powerful enough to do something about it. We need to use that terminology so that people can relate to it. It's the theft of estates, and it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your ability or disability. I mean, we are all vulnerable. Everybody is vulnerable in America. And the other thing is, I think I was connected with the America United International. I still am, actually. We may have to go outside of the legal system in America for assistance because, as Ms. Diamond pointed out, who wants to upset the status quo in that system? They're either frightened, the good ones, quote unquote, are either good and quiet, or they're benefiting. Uh-huh. So, I mean, I don't see our way out of this until people within the club are willing to stand up and help us within the system. We will probably have to go outside of the system for help. And that was it. Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you. That's a very compelling thought. You know, during my research, I'm not going to tell you who my sources were, but I got a lot of calls from people who worked inside guardianship companies. You know, these larger companies that come in and they have all the guardianships already ready to go, and they have their hand-picked guardians. And I had people calling me that worked inside those systems that actually told me how it all came down, how it all worked. And one of the chapters in my book, I think it's chapter 5, put all the information together, and I make a composite guardianship figure, and I tell you exactly how they get away with what they get away with. And I learned all this from people who are in the inside. So, you know, they're in the accounting department, and they're in the ordering department, and they're not the guardians, but they know what's up and how it works. And maybe those are the people who need to be called before Congress and testify and, hey, this is how it works, and I know because I did it.
May they be graced with the courage.
Yes, yes. Wouldn't that be great? Any more calls?
Not yet. People are coming on. They're fading off as soon as I can try to capture them. So I'm trying to get some more phone calls. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. I think a lot of people are coming on and they're not pressing a 1. 845-241-9962. Well, we only have 11 minutes left to the show. And I'll put more callers when they do call in. But so we're talking about guardianship and conservatorship abuse, and Diane wrote this book, and I'm still out to get it myself. I'm waiting for payday. So, but I'm really interested in reading a lot about it because we in America really need to do something about this. So what else can you add to it, and how can people find you? I mean, besides just going to get the book, do you have emails? Do you have a website? How can they get a hold of you if they need to talk to you?
I do indeed. In fact, I've just redone my website to feature this latest book that I've written. It's DianeDiamond.com. Now, there's no A in my last name, so it's D-I-M-O-N-D. And I'll tell you, I made, if you go to the top navigation bar there, you'll see a tab called Guardianship Central. And I set up this part of my website to help people who are suddenly faced with a guardianship. Wait a minute, I got a paper and my mother's in guardianship? What does that mean? But what are all these phrases that they're talking about? What can I do? What's expected of me? So this page in my website has a glossary
so that all of the confusing terms that you will come across are explained. There's lots of articles up there. Somebody recently said, well, the media isn't covering this. That's not true. The media has covered it, but not enough. And I have lots of articles up there you can read. My 6-part newspaper series that I did is up there on the left-hand side, and some other longer form stuff. There's a FAQ, frequently asked questions section. And so it's just, I designed that part of the website to help people who may be thinking, you know, I heard about guardianship. Maybe I'll go for guardianship of my elderly father or my disabled sister. Maybe that's the legal thing I need to do to help them. Well, you should also know about the pitfalls of guardianship. Mm-hmm. And this page will help explain some of the craziness and, frankly, criminal things that can happen. And then make your decision. Because guardianship can work. You know, come on, let's be honest. Some guardianships do work. I spell out some of those cases in the book. But we're concerned about the cases that don't work out. And I think that page on my website will help you. You can also reach me through my website. There's a contact button, and write to me, and I will try to write right back to you.
Good. And so that was just released just a couple months ago, wasn't it? Your book?
The book came out in late September, so it's not very old. And I'll tell you, you know, God bless the people in Israel and the mess on Capitol Hill where they couldn't find a Speaker of the House. But all of that monumental news has sort of overshadowed the release of this book. There are some documentaries that are going to come out that I'm a part of. I've taped a segment with the CBS Sunday Morning Show with Jane Pauley. That'll be out in the next few weeks. I hope the next couple of weeks, but we don't have an air date on that yet. So I think you would have heard more about the book had there not been that horrible war in the Middle East, but it is what it is. So we'll keep talking about it, right?
Right. And I think Hillary was also in the Washington Press. There's an article in there that I'm still trying to share that, but every time it keeps taking me out of there, I don't know what's going on with that. So do you have any other documentaries or any other things that you share with us that you think is going to help bring the attention out to the American people what's going on?
I think so. I did just do an interview with a documentarian that is about the Wendy Williams case. Wendy Williams is a talk show host. She is under guardianship. She says she doesn't need it. She doesn't want it. And it was her bank, her investment person at the bank at Wells Fargo that put her under guardianship. So,
oh, my
gosh.
For
people,
How is that even possible?
Oh, yeah.
How is that even possible? I mean, you can't even go to the banks. You can't go to the nursing homes. You can't go to hospital. That's what I wanted to ask you about. What do you think about all that? Do you think it's dangerous nowadays to go to the hospital? Because a lot of people are saying that my mom went to a hospital and she was guardianized. What are you going to say about that?
It happens all the time. It does happen all the time, unfortunately. And the banks. Let me tell you one quick story. In the state of Texas, there was a car mechanic. He did a lot of work for an elderly multimillionaire in Texas, fixing his classic cars, and the old man owed him money and wasn't paying him, about $30,000. So this car mechanic went to a lawyer friend and he said, hey, what can I do to make this old guy remember to pay me? And the lawyer said, guardianize him. And do you know it worked? A car mechanic became the guardian and in control of the multimillionaire's entire estate because a judge in Texas said, oh, he doesn't pay his bills and you want to be his guardian? Okay. And he was guardianized. So for people who think guardianship is never going to touch my life, think again. There's a woman here in New York City who's lived in her apartment for 50 years. She's 93 years old. She went to the hospital and the landlord of her building decided this is the perfect time to guardianize her so I can get her rent-controlled apartment, slap a coat of paint on it, and charge somebody a whole lot more for that apartment. And it worked.
Oh, my God.
She's under guardianship. So,
oh, my God. And you were talking about earlier about how divorces, men are putting their wives into a guardianship. I've heard so many stories about that.
Because they can't hire a lawyer.
Wow.
Yeah, they can't hire a lawyer to fight the husband. So it's a perfect solution for the guy, you know. There are boyfriends and former girlfriends and former business associates and angry neighbors who have filed petitions for guardianships and gotten them.
Wow.
So And so what do you think about ex parte hearings? I mean, people don't even have to be at those hearings. They're getting them one after another. We talk about that in ours, you know, about ex parte hearings. What do you think about them? I mean, that's really scary, you know?
Well, an ex parte hearing is when a judge is only talking to one side in a dispute. But in a guardianship, the person who's being guardianized often isn't even in the courtroom. So there is no other side. It's just the side of the person seeking guardianship. So
exactly.
I think it's awful. I think if a judge is going to take a life away from somebody, they damn well ought to be able to look them in the eye when they do it and at least see if they think they're incapacitated. So many of these cases I've seen, it's just like, you know, an emergency petition for emergency guardianship, and the judge says, oh, it's an emergency, okay, it's established, and they never once set eye on the person or even ask their family, hey, does this person really need some help? What's going on? They don't even ask questions. It's unconscionable.
Exactly. I think the whole guardianship system, do you think it needs to be abolished? What do you think?
No, I don't, because I think there are people in the United States that have absolutely no one to help them. Profoundly disabled people or elderly, mostly widows, as Doug Franks was saying. This is really a crime against women, mostly, because women live longer than men. And when there's a family member in need of assistance, who helps out? Is it the son? No, it's usually the daughter. The daughter wants to be the guardian, goes to court, and isn't chosen. Some stranger is chosen. And that daughter goes through hell trying just to see her mom or dad. So it really is a crime
against
women. And
if she has
been
a caretaker and a homemaker working for and with and next to her mother or father, whoever it may be, there's a good chance, very strong chance, that her home, which is her parents' home, is going to be taken from her, and she will now be out in the street.
Exactly.
Anyway, we are going to be closing up the show tonight because we just got a warning that we've got a minute to show. Thank God that we didn't get kicked off the air.
It was a great show.
I know there was a lot of people that were still trying to get into the show, and I'm sure I'll hear a lot about that, and I'll just tell everybody we had some technical difficulties, but we were still able to carry on.
However, I do want to remind our listeners that all of our shows are archived at blogtalkradio.com/hiddentruthrevealed. So you will be able to get the replay if you'll go to blogtalkradio.com/hiddentruthrevealed. You can listen to our interview with Diane Diamond. It was an excellent show. We thank all of our listeners and all of our callers and our guest,
and Diane Diamond's book. Everybody, get it.
Go out, buy it.
We're here
buy
to
it
help
on Amazon
when
so guardian- you can leave an excellent review.
Right. We're here to help when guardianship goes wrong. Diane, thank you so much for your book, and thank you for your time for coming on to the show tonight. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of us at FaceUsRadio, F-A-T-E-U-S Radio, at hotmail.com. And if you want to get a hold of Diane and you can't get a hold of me, I'll get a hold of her, and we'll put you in touch. So thank you for my co-host coming on.
Good night. Yes.
Love you.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you for clarifying that.
on next week,
too. All attorneys, all judges are not bad. There's hope.
No, they're not all bad. Okay.
Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
Good night.
Thank you to all of our excellent guests and listeners and co-hosts.
Thank you very much. We're going to play the NASGA commercial, everybody, before we go off the air. We thank them for letting us use their commercial.
Remember, justice requires transparency and accountability.
And giving up
is not an option.
There you go. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Thank you again.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.